The Youth's Instructor, June 8, 1893. Words to the Young. By the gift of His dear Son, God has made provision that every man, woman, and child may be saved. The invitation has been given. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. The Lord has sent to the world the light of life. But if we deliberately choose darkness rather than light, or fail to improve our opportunity to understand the truth, the time will come when we shall see that the sin of neglecting God's great salvation is no light matter. He who passes on in life, careless concerning those things which pertain to his eternal interests, is blind to the great work that might be accomplished through him as God's human agent, if he cooperated with the heavenly agencies waiting his request for help. If he did but see what advantages would accrue to himself through the unreserved surrender of himself to the Lord, he would know that it was the utmost folly to turn from him who entreats, turn ye, for why will ye die? The law of God is inexorable and abates not a claim upon any human soul. It holds to its demands upon every sinner and makes manifest his need of penitence for sin, of faith in a crucified and risen Savior. It daily urges upon him the necessity of cooperation with Jesus Christ, that he may be found guiltless through the merits of his substitute and surety. In the judgment, you will think it has indeed been at your soul's peril that you have turned from light and evidence, that you have educated the mind to cast contempt upon the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. A faithful record is made of the thoughts, words, and deeds of every soul, and they are weighed in the golden balances of the heavenly sanctuary. God is not to be trifled with. In the parable of the talents, he who hid his Lord's money and returned it to him without usury is termed wicked and slothful. God has made every provision for the saving of every soul. But if we spurn the gift of everlasting life, purchased at infinite cost for us, the time will come when God will also spurn us from his presence, whether we are rich or poor, high or low, learned or unlearned. The principles of eternal justice will have full control in the great day of God's wrath. We shall not hear a charge against us on the ground of the outbreaking sins we have committed, but the charge will be made against us for the neglect of good and noble duties enjoined upon us by the God of love. The deficiencies of our characters will be held up to view. It will then be known that all who are so condemned had light and knowledge, were entrusted with their Lord's goods, and were found unfaithful to their trust. It will be seen that they had no appreciation of the heavenly trust, that they did not use their capital in loving service to others, that they did not, by precept and example, cultivate faith and devotion in those with whom they associated. It will be according to the light they have had that they will be judged and punished. God requires that every human agent shall improve all the means of grace heaven has provided and become more and more efficient in the work of God. Every provision has been made that the piety, purity, and love of the Christian shall ever increase, that his talents may double, and his ability increase in the service of his divine Master. But though this provision has been made, many who profess to believe in Jesus do not make it manifest by growth that testifies to the sanctifying power of the truth upon life and character. when we first receive Jesus into our hearts, we are as babes in religion. But we are not to remain babes in experience. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to attain to the full measure of the stature of men and women in Him. We are to make advances, to gain new and rich experiences through faith, growing in trust and confidence and love, knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom He hath sent. God expects, in view of the great facilities He has provided for our advancement, that we shall grow. But many do not become more efficient, simply because they do not use the power that God has already given them. By a proper use of their entrusted talents, they might acquire tact and wisdom and grow in efficiency. The unprofitable servant gave back his Lord's entrusted talent. But the Lord demanded the reason why he had not put to use that which had been given for that purpose. In the parable of the talents, we have two classes brought to view. One class is represented by the diligent servant, and the other by the wicked and slothful servant. They had both been entrusted with their Lord's money. One went to work with earnestness, seeking opportunities to use his entrusted gift in such a way that others would be blessed and benefited. He does not live simply to please himself, to gratify selfish desires, to delight in pleasure parties and in places of amusement, seeking for the gratification of his fleshly lusts, as though this were the object of life. But he thinks soberly, and remembers that his religious life is short. He says, "I have but a short period in which to work and do the best I can. It is but little that I can do for him who has died for me. I must make the most of my precious time and see if I cannot, by earnest, prayerful effort, lead the steps of some wandering soul from sin to righteousness, that he too may use his entrusted talents for the Master whom I love. No soul with whom I am brought in contact must charge me in the judgment with neglect and indifference as to his salvation. For such a worker, the angels of God will open ways and furnish opportunities, and will cooperate with the human agent that he shall not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Faithful and thorough in the duties that may appear small to him, he is obtaining an education in fidelity that will fit him to stand in positions of trust. The other one, whom God would have used as his agent, in every respect stood in as favorable a position as did his brother worker. But how different is the result of his life! He does not look upon himself as amenable to God for his time and his influence. He does not study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but neglects to look to God for wisdom and grace, that he may discern and resist every temptation, however disguised it may come to him. He does not think that it is appropriate for him to live a life of penitence, to exercise faith, to render obedience, to be holy in all manner of conduct. He does not discern that a life of faithfulness to God in every item of his work will finally work for him a character fitted for heaven through the grace of Christ, so richly to be imparted to those who work for him. But he neglects all the precious provisions of the grace of God, and becomes guilty before heaven. It is impossible for one who has only a meager knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent, to represent God correctly, or to wage the Christian warfare, gaining victories over temptation to indifference and indolence. He is purposeless, and that which he might have done with his original talent is left undone. And when he is weighed in the balances of the sanctuary, the verdict is passed, weighed and found wanting. He is held accountable for all that a true Christian might have done with his entrusted talent. But because he had no realization of his responsibility, he frittered away his time, used his holidays for the gratification of self, and, instead of training his powers to serve the noblest uses in becoming a missionary for God, in speaking to his associates and winning them from sin to God, he failed to represent the interests of his master, and his light did not shine forth in good works to the world. The truth that is not permitted to work sanctification in the life works out a savor of death unto death. How did this soul become released from the claims of God, that he might venture to do his own will, as if God had given him life to fritter away as a long holiday? It was the neglect of God's great love, his failure to meet the wise design of his Redeemer, that separated him from his Heavenly Father. For, when God cannot use a soul as his human agent to glorify his name by the salvation of others, he terms him an unprofitable servant, whose influence is not of a character to gather with Christ. Young friends, what course are you pursuing? Will you be among the class who are called wicked and slothful servants, or among those who are invited into the joy of their Lord, because they are true and faithful through the grace of Christ?